When David invited me to come and to join you here today on Harvest Sunday, I thought, what a brilliant Sunday to go and to be with God's people in Hamilton Road. Everybody will be so relaxed. Everybody will just be so happy. Everybody will be celebrating. The crops are safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin. It's great, isn't it? Wouldn't know it to look at you. You're maybe not feeling that in any overwhelming kind of a way, are you? I know I'm not. Because I don't work the ground. This time of the year is not the culmination of my year's work. It's not the time when I put up my feet and kick back and celebrate and feast the way my forefathers did. So a harvest Thanksgiving service becomes a little bit weird. Maybe you share my struggle. We're going to take a slightly different approach this morning. Instead of a harvest Thanksgiving service, we're going to have a harvest Thanksgiving service. And what I mean when I ask you to shift the focus a wee bit, I'm saying let's think a little bit less about fruit and veg, important though they are, and let's think more about all the things that we could be saying thanks to our wonderful God for. When we do that, when we start to think about all the ways in which God's blessed us, we're going to discover that one day or one service in the year isn't going to do it. Expressing our gratitude is going to be the work of a lifetime. And that's why I want to talk this morning about harvest thanks living. Just before we dive in, you're maybe sitting there thinking, he's going to talk about thankfulness, he's going to talk about gratitude. It doesn't really seem like a very big deal. Perhaps you think it's a small thing or a trivial thing. You think that mature Christians are Bible readers, or they're prayers, or they're people who lead ministries and who go on missions trips. That's true. Often they are. But they're grateful. God's word teaches us that gratitude or thanksgiving is one of the key defining marks of a mature follower of Jesus Christ. Anyone who truly follows Jesus is grateful. And why is that? Because their gratitude's a sign that they've got it. They've seen that all of life is a gift from a beautiful Father God. Reminds me of a podcast I heard a few years ago from the man who's probably most shaped my vision of the Christian life, a guy called James Houston, founding principal of Regent College. I think he was 94 years old at the time of the interview. So the younger interviewer asked him a question. Dr. Houston, how do you follow Jesus the way you have for such a long life? And without a moment's hesitation, he said two things. Practicing the presence of God and gratitude. Don't let's take Jim Houston's word for it. The Apostle Paul talks about thanks or thanksgiving 35 times across his letters. Oftentimes he himself is expressing his thanks or his thanksgiving, but also he's inviting us to join with him, those who follow Jesus, to express their thanksgiving as a sign of a mature Christian life. A couple of examples. So in Philippians 4, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The passage is about asking God for stuff. When you're stressed, when you're crying out to God, asking him for what you need today, do it saying thank you for what he's already given you. Another verse, Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Everything you do, you can do in Jesus' name. Everything you have, give thanks for it. We could go on, but hopefully you're getting the point. Thanksgiving is not a trivial thing. It's not a small thing in the Christian life. It's a sign that we've got it, that we've begun to see ourselves as daughters and sons of the living God who've received endlessly from him. Those short passages from Paul are just helping us to get warmed up, but please have open before you Psalm 116, our text for today. We're going to be focusing in at verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I'll lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I don't use the Message translation of the Bible a lot. That surprises people since I studied at Regent College in Vancouver, but this is one of the places where I love Eugene Peterson's translation. He puts it like this: what can I give back to God for the blessings he's poured out on me? I'll lift high the cup of salvation, a toast to God. So there's the question we're going to think about for a few moments. What can I give back to God for all the blessings he's poured out on me? The best way, I think, to get at this is to think for a few minutes together about these blessings. Maybe you're struggling to remember them today. But it seems to me remembering God's blessings is the catalyst. It's the starting point to live grateful lives of thanksgiving. So we're going to think for a few minutes about God's blessings in creation, Jesus' blessings in salvation, and the Spirit's blessings in our lives. So first of all, God's blessings in creation. That's pretty easy today. We've already been doing that. We sang these words in our opening hymn. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord, for all his love. It's hard though, isn't it, to keep a posture of gratitude in the times in which we live. It's hard to have a harvest celebration. I've already talked about that. We harvest in our household every week. I know that all is safely gathered in when I open the fridge on a Thursday evening and the big shop is there. It's a harvest that never fails. So this gratitude for the harvest can be a little bit difficult for us. So it's hard to keep a sense of gratitude for our food. Maybe you've seen the episode of The Simpsons where Bart is asked to say grace. And the family's gathered. They have guests with them. The table's spread with beautiful food. And Bart prays, "Dear God, we pay for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing." And the first time you hear it, you think, that's irreverent, blasphemous, outrageous. Until I remember the many times when I've sat at a meal and haven't thanked God, because I've imagined that it is all mine and that I've paid for it. Folks, gratitude, I think, has probably grown to be more difficult for us. If the cultural commentators are right, we live in a culture of entitlement, where few people see any reason to be grateful for anything because it's all theirs. It can be hard for middle class people, those who have worked hard at school and got good grades. We imagine that we're in jobs that we deserve and that we're entitled to the salaries that come with them. I've earned it, we say to ourselves. And we forget that it's all a gift We forget that I'm no better or more deserving than the kid with an IQ half of mine, who didn't pass their 11 plus or their AQE, who didn't go on to third level education, and who didn't have the opportunities I have. You're no better than the girl who didn't have that supportive family, who weren't able to encourage her into grammar school and into professional life. It's all a gift, every last bit of it. I want to say thank you every day. Folks, our very lives are a gift. If you've lost someone near to you, or you've lost someone suddenly, you will know this. That next beat of your heart, and that one, and that breath, and this one, it's all a gift. And then there's the beauty around us. I'm just getting started. The colours of the autumn, it's just starting to kick in. It's going to be beautiful, same as it was last year. And the sky and the sea, you see them here in Bangor where you go for a walk on Ballyhome Beach and get to see the beauty of it all. It's like that because God made it that way. American Pulitzer Prize winner Annie Dillard, she's really helped me with this side of life. She says, there seems to be such a thing as beauty, a grace wholly gratuitous. Have you ever noticed how unnecessarily beautiful the world is? You know, if you or I were given the job of making the world, we'd make it out of tarmac and concrete, plastic and steel. It'd be a grey, drab place. He's made it so beautiful. Annie Dillard, she invites us outside to enjoy God's blessings in creation. She says, beauty and grace are performed whether or not we will or sense them. The least we can do is to be there. Let's be there. Get outside sometime today or this week. Breathe some fresh air, enjoy a view, and say thank you. What can I give back to God for all the blessings He's poured out on me? Folks, we could never be done with thanking God for His blessings in creation, but we're only warming up here. What about His blessings, the blessings that folks gathered in a community like this know very, very well? Jesus, for His salvation. Tell me this. Do you ever take a moment to say thank you? Thank you, Lord, for saving me. It's the greatest thing to do. One of the dangers for those of us who have known Jesus for years and for decades is that we lose our joy. There's a great line in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. It's in a second part of the book, if you've ever read the whole thing in two volumes. First one tells the story of Christian, but the second volume tells the story of his wife, Christiana. She's on her way to the celestial city. She meets a character who has the name Mercy. And Bunyan tells us that Christiana helps Mercy to fall in love with her own salvation. Do you love your salvation? Does it make you smile? Do you ever thank God for the person who led you to Jesus Christ? Maybe it's one of the dangers of long-term Christian living and Christian ministry. We become so focused on sharing the gospel with other people, bringing the good news of Jesus to other people, that we forget to receive it still as good news for us. I find the Apostle Paul an inspiration at this point. He's traveling the length and breadth of the Roman Empire. He's bringing the gospel of Jesus to any person he can find in any of those cities. And he writes his many letters to the churches, that he's founded and to the people he's partnered with in ministry. He's encouraging them all to find salvation in Jesus, to work out their salvation. But he never forgets that it's for him. One of my favorite Pauline passages. He does something that he rarely does, and that is he begins to speak in the first person. Talks about himself. And he says this: I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. Listen, who loved me and gave himself for me. Loved me and gave himself for me. It's a wonderful thing to listen in when somebody is praising God for the salvation they found in Jesus Christ. I wonder if that's why Stormzy's Blinded by Your Grace has been so powerful in British culture this last 3 years. I don't know whether you saw him perform it last June at Glastonbury. The whole nation was rapt. I'm blinded by your grace. I'm blinded by your grace. Lord, I've been broken. Although I'm not worthy, you have fixed me. I'm blinded by your grace. You came and saved me. Folks, if we forget to celebrate God's goodness among each other, to talk to each other about Jesus' salvation, God will raise up people from unlikely places to do it before us. Do you do that? Do you sing salvation songs? It's one of the best parts of our corporate worship, a time to thank Jesus for his salvation. What can I give back to God for the blessings he's poured out on me? We thank him for his blessings in creation. We thank Jesus for his blessings and salvation. And finally, we're grateful to the Spirit of Jesus for his ongoing work in our lives. When Jesus returned to the Father in heaven, he promised that he would leave his Spirit to help us. The Spirit would build individual people like you and me, but he'd also grow the church of Jesus Christ. So I want to talk for a moment about the blessings that we receive by the Spirit in the church. I wonder, are you grateful that you live in Bangor? Are you? A place with 1,500 years of Christian heritage. I remember the moment when I realized what a brilliant thing it was to come from Bangor. It was 1997. I'd just started my theological training at Regent College in Vancouver. And I was sitting in that first term in Church History 1. So it's a course where you do the history of the church in 12 classes from the time of the apostles up to the Reformation, 1,500 years in 12 classes. It's going to be a bit match of the day, isn't it? It's going to be highlights only. Knowing that, I was all the more shocked when in lecture number 2, the Canadian professor at the front started talking about Bangor, County Down, Northern Ireland. And he described a monastic missional hub sending missionaries in the 500s AD all over Europe. I couldn't help myself. I dug the ribs of the boy beside me, and I said, this Canadian fella, and I said, that's where I'm from. Folks, if you're ever in northern Switzerland near Lake Constance, make a point of visiting St. Gallen, the town founded 1,400 years ago by St. Gall of Bangor. What a history. What a privilege. Have you ever thanked God that you live in Bangor? Maybe that'll help you someday when you don't feel so thankful. Or have you ever thanked him that you're allowed to be part of a community like this at Hamilton Road? 120 years and more, people have been gathering here to worship Jesus. It's brilliant. I came here as a wee boy. I was 9 years old. People here taught me Sunday school and children's church. Some of you are still here. Thank you. I was pointed to Jesus in BB and in Bible class. I heard some of the best preaching. David Searle. David Burke before him. David Johnson after him. Do you have to be called David to be a minister here, by the way? I haven't time to mention all the assistants and associates all along the way. Folks, it's possible to take for granted the gospel preaching and Bible teaching. When I grew up here in Hamilton Road, because it was the church I grew up in, I thought all churches were like this. I thought that all over the land, huge crowds of people gathered to share vibrant praise and then to hear the life-changing word of God. I thought this was normal. I've learned by now that this is not normal. Ireland's full of emptying churches. Churches that are on their knees, and often it's due to the absence of the life-changing word of God preached in the power of God's Spirit. When I look back, I am so grateful. And I'm going to invite you to be grateful too. Folks, I understand David's retiring from his work here in 3 weeks' time. That gives you 3 weeks to write him a letter, send him an email, and to say thank you for bringing God's word into my life faithfully, week after week after week, for a quarter of a century. Folks, I wouldn't want you to imagine that my gratitude extends only to church staff or to those in formal leadership positions. It runs much, much deeper and much wider. I'm grateful to every person who just loved me, welcomed me in. Who said, you can be part of this family. All my spiritual brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, and grandparents. It's communities like this that make us who we are. I'm grateful, ever so grateful. And I hope you are too. You're probably ready to join in with me by now. Shall we say it together? What can I give back to God for all the blessings he's poured out on me? I'll lift high the cup of salvation, a toast to God. Folks, I'm running out of time. If you take one last look at that verse while it's on there, it poses a question, and we haven't even tried to answer it. It asks the question, what can I give back to God? All we have done is talk about the blessings. The reason I haven't tried to deal with the question is I can't. There is no answer. The answer is actually nothing. That's what I can give back to God for all that he's given me. Absolutely nothing. So knowing that, here's what I will do. I'll spend the rest of my days, however few or many they may be, celebrating him. Raving about him to anybody who'll listen. And just saying thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wouldn't it be great if we could remember what we've talked about here this morning? If we could take a spirit of gratitude with us, cultivate it, grow it, remember this verse, let this change your lives. Here's something that might help you to remember. I came here this morning all the way from Belfast. You don't live too far from Belfast. many of you work in Belfast or visit Belfast for shopping or entertainment. Let me show you something about Belfast you might not know. This is the City of Belfast coat of arms. All right? Now, how's your Latin? Bangor people have pretty good Latin, if I remember right. They're like a Latin motto down in these parts. Here's the Latin motto for Belfast. Pro tanto quid retribuamus. I'm just waiting for somebody to shout out the translation. What shall we give back in return for so much? Where do you think that's come from? Psalm 116. The city of Belfast, at one point in its history, when it was trying to say who it was, when it was trying to capture a vision for itself, a motto, it looked to God's word and it said, whoever else we may be, we're grateful to God. Isn't that astounding? That's Belfast's motto. I've tried to make it mine. Maybe you're ready to make it yours. Let us pray.